there's an awkward feeling when you don't have singing and shouting to fill in. But I'm sure there would be some awkwardness too if we didn't, if we eliminated our prayers in an assembly or a lesson or an opportunity to give or those kinds of, or to observe the Lord's Supper. If we left out anything, it's just not going to feel the same. In last week's lesson, we gave you six reasons on why we should pray. In other words, the value of prayer. So today's lesson is, for whom should I pray? I missed that hymn, "It's Me." "It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." No matter who you're thinking about that's in need of prayer, it's still my hand goes up too. I need prayer. Just to ask some questions by way of introduction. Do you know anybody who could use some prayer? Jim just gave a partial list in the announcements. You don't have to raise your hand or answer out loud. Just, do you know someone in need of prayer? Do you know of anybody that's praying for you? Or are you praying for someone? Heads are going up and okay. In the Old Testament story, Samuel addresses Israel and urges them in 1 Samuel 12, verse 20, do not turn aside from following the Lord. Don't do that. But serve the Lord with all your heart. In verse 23 of 1 Samuel 12, he says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing or stopping to pray for you. Interesting, we don't usually think of our lack of prayer as being a trespass or a shortcoming or missing the mark. But Samuel says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray. So there's value in prayer, and that's the emphasis of our lesson this morning. So Jim mentioned, even in our bulletin, we have a prayerfully remember list, so I'm encouraging you to use it. For whom should I pray? Well, I don't have anybody in mind. Look at the list. You know, we can get out our directories and we can just go page by page and think of someone. Oh, that's right. I remember them now. Their picture or just their name in front of us gives us encouragement or gives us an admonition to just stop and say, God bless them. So I'm going to give you a list today, and also a list continues in next Lord's Day's lesson also. So I'm going to give you about eight different situations in our lesson this morning. So number one, we need to pray for all that are in authority. Those who are in authority locally, or in our state, in our nation, and in our world. In the text that was read to us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul gives, he says, I exhort you. And that's a word of encouragement, of beseeching, you know, a please when you do this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, all these kinds of prayer be made for all men. He mentions kings, all that are in authority. Then he gives a specific request we make in our prayers for those who are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we're praying for those world leaders, even those who we may think are opposing us. We may in some situations say, those are our enemies. But we bow and pray for them. I want them to, anyone and all leaders, kings, all in authority, I'm praying for them that they will make decisions that will help me to live a peaceful and tranquil life. That's the content of my prayer, even for my enemies. I want you to make a decision that will help me, that will help all of us to live peaceably in a tranquil life. So God, would you please bless the decisions of kings. The request for these in authority. We pray for them that to conduct their affairs so that they will not provide a hindrance to our godly living. I've used this phrase before, but it needs to be called to our attention again. Sometimes, in life and in meetings or assemblies like this, the content is not to receive more instruction or new information, but a reminder. And even though you can look down this list and you can say, Brian, I know that, but now I stand before you and say, I want to remind you and me to pray for these people. The prayer that I've always heard as a youngster was, God, we're so thankful that we can assemble free and unmolested. And we started using that again in recent decades. Because there's a possibility, as we know in some countries where missionaries are, there are places when they meet, they may be molested by a rebel organization or by a government that comes in and overpowers their assembly and scatters the people. So we pray, thank you, God, that we can meet without that fear. So we pray for kings and those in authority. Number two, we pray for those who repent. It's a given, isn't it? And because Israel was willing to put away the strange gods, Samuel now says in 1 Samuel 7, verse 5, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. There's a time to pray not only for individuals who have made requests, but there's a time for us to gather together and say, God bless us. And as we make our decision, we make our resolve to live better lives, one stands in front of us all and said, God, bless our efforts. Bless our determination. God, bless our resolve. Bless our commitment to serve you. And then it gets down to the individuals. In James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we pray. Not only for us together, but now we get down to the individuals. Number three on the list, the sick. Don't want to leave those out. In 3 John, verses 1 and 2, John writes to the elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. He says, beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Gaius, I want your physical health to match your spiritual health. What if your physical health matched your spiritual health? Don't answer aloud. But would you be better? I think that's a bold statement for John to make. Gaius, I love you. And I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health as you are spiritually healthy. Mm. We need to pray for others and our own health too. I mentioned last week when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations." You know, it has this communication from God. He says, "There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure again. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness," Paul said. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And again, there's some things in life we can't change. We may have to live with this, Paul is saying, about this thorn in the flesh, whatever that was or is. And he prays sincerely and earnestly. And I'm thinking, surely God will answer this chosen missionary and answer him according to his request. And God says, "No, you're going to have to live with it, but I'll give you grace. And that is sufficient." Wait a minute, I'm hurting. I don't like the situation I'm in. But God says, "My grace is sufficient." So we pray for the sick. We pray for ourselves. You know, even people in the medical field have testified that those who pray or who have people praying for them, they mend faster and they mend with a better outlook on life. The sick, just knowing someone's praying for them, it resurrects hope. Number four, we pray for unity. For brethren to live together in unity. In the prayer of Jesus, he makes this request. In John 17, beginning at verse 20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone," meaning the apostles that are gathered there in that upper room. It says, "but for them also," there's others. "I pray for these, but I pray for others, which shall believe on me through their word," through their preaching, through their missionary efforts. "They may all be one." Content of prayer. "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that the world may believe that you have sent me." You see, there's a blessing in unity. For those on the outside who are watching us, when they see us living together and dwelling in unity, there's a witness or a testimony to them. It should produce belief. The Father and the Son. The manner in which we get along has an influence on others. The manner in which we get along. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, "Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So we pray for that. In Psalm 133, verse 1, he says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to gather together in unity." It's like precious ointment. You see, our getting together is good and is pleasant. See, some things in life are good, but they're not pleasant. Like maybe taking your medicine. That doesn't taste good. Not pleasant, but it's good for us. Other things in life are pleasant, but they're not good. Hebrew writer speaks about the pleasures of sin for a season. Won't last. But unity, dwelling together, that's good and pleasant. It's like precious ointment, he says. I know. When we've had our business meetings, we typically pray for this kind of situation to exist. This phrase is either in our opening prayer of our meeting or the closing prayer. We thank God for a spirit of unity that exists among those gathered around the table to discuss the work of the congregation here. We pray, God, bless our unity. Bless our bond of peace. Guide us in our discussions. That is not upset. So we pray for unity. Number five is pray for all the saints. So now we haven't been very specific in our prayer request. Now it's let's not leave anyone out. Make sure let's just pray for God. We pray for all those in whom it's our duty to pray for. Pray for everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren. And in verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Someone says, well, how can you do that? We have to stop to eat and sleep and go to work, things like that. So the context of the lesson of praying without ceasing is not guiding us in a physical posture for prayer, you know, closing our eyes and folding our hands, or lifting up our heads and our hands, or falling to the ground in prayer. No. So don't think of the physical posture. Think about just the prayer thoughts that come to your mind. That happens, doesn't it? Sometimes throughout the day, situation may come up where you just get a thought about someone in the congregation. You say, God bless them. Oh. But you didn't actually stop everything you were doing. You just simply a quick, brief moment of words or thoughts. God help. Christine and I received a thinking of you card a couple weeks ago before we started meeting again. When I first saw the card, I thought, oh, someone's making an announcement of some kind. Mm-hmm. But it was just thinking of you, Brian and Christine, till we meet again in an assembly like this. I thought, oh, that's to stop for a moment. That's heartwarming. Encouraging. Just a note. Thinking of you. Those were prayer thoughts. In Philippians 1 verse 3, Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, and making requests with joy. I thank God. When I remember you, I'm going to say thank you, God, for them. Thank you for their influence on me, or thank you for the work that they're doing. Just a brief remembrance. Thank you for you. Thank you, God, for them. In Colossians 1, verse 3, we give thanks unto God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So now the self-examination question comes, are you praying for someone? Let them know. You know, when Jim makes the announcement, we have people that we want to pray for. And then when he concludes the announcements, he calls several by name. We could do in our Bible class. You can let people know you're praying for them in the foyer or in the parking lot. You can let them know by telephone or by email or by text or sending that card. You're on my mind. Oh, thank you. Number six, well, personal now, pray for the preacher. Paul says pray for him, but he mentions specifically the content of that prayer. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, after he says praying always with all prayer, in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. We pray for the preacher. It's always nice to hear someone pray. Typically the quote is, for the one who's about to deliver the message. I'm assuming since I'm the preacher, nobody else here, that he must mean me. But it's also humbling just to hear your name. If they said, we pray for Brian today. And we pray that he brings a message with boldness and all that other phrase, and give him a ready remembrance. of the things he studied. Paul gives a solemn charge to Timothy concerning preaching. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, he says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So when it's my turn to stand before you and deliver a message, there'll be times when I'm called upon to reprove or to rebuke or to exhort, and with all longsuffering." Say it again. And with doctrine, there's a time for instruction. Time for encouragement, for building up. Yeah. So this lesson is an opportunity for me to remind you and remind me. There's a list of people to include in our prayers. And then Paul concludes, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's an uh-oh. Number 7 is relief from uncommon anxiety, or anxiety about those who are experiencing disaster. And again, Jim highlighted that in his announcements. In Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful or be anxious for nothing. So in everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So we pray for relief from anxiety that's not productive. I'm going to be anxious if I'm in a disaster. But I want my anxiety to produce something good. I'm going to go to work. And only other expression, you know, we work as if everything depended upon us, and then we pray as if everything depended upon God. And that's what's going on in our disaster relief, in our state and in our nation. So we pray specifically, as Jim did, God, would you bless the efforts in this firestorm? Would you bless the efforts in research for a COVID-19 vaccine? Bless the efforts, all these people that are working as if everything depended upon them. And now we want to pray, God, as if everything depended upon you. Help us, oh God. We need you again today. So we pray for those. Then the last one, number 8. We pray for others to be saved. In Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire," in other words, my prayer or my heart's desire to God for Israel is that they might be saved. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being unlearned of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." We see people like that in our community, in our nation, our world today. So we go back to the introduction. When Paul instructed Timothy to pray not only for all those in authority, but then in verse 3, he said, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." So here's our list today as a reminder to pray for those in authority. To pray for someone who repents. I want to pray for the sick. Pray for our unity. I want to pray for all the saints. Pray for the preacher. Pray for relief from that anxiety, from that disaster. Give me relief. Pray for others to be saved. Next week, I'm going to continue this lesson, the list. I've given you 8 things today. I have 6 more. That doesn't exhaust the list by any means. But next week, I'm going to talk about relationships. I want to pray for families. Pray for widows and widowers. Pray for our unmarried young adults. I guess older adults too. Pray for the married. Pray for children. pray for parents. So next week, we'll enlarge our list. Lord willing. Always at the close of a lesson, we extend an invitation. It's an invitation for those who are not Christians to become Christians. For those who have not already asked or made a prayer request for, or asked Jim in announcements to say, would you ask brethren to pray for this situation or this individual? You still have that opportunity. You just need to let it be known. You want someone to pray for you or for some other situation. But if you're not a member of the New Testament church, there's a simple plan or formula that we give each time. Number one, you need to hear the word of God. That's why Jesus said, commissioned his apostles, go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, don't leave anybody out. Everyone needs to hear that good news gospel message. Then they need to believe it. As Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. And I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe. Believe that good news message that God so loved the world, he sent a son. Then Jesus added to it in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, repent or you perish. I don't want to perish either. I don't want our world to perish, a world of people. Then number four, you'll want to confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. He said, the Ethiopian said, well, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe, you may. So the Ethiopian made a confession. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip immediately commanded the chariot to stand still. And then number five, they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Things have changed in my life. From that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the lesson today. If you're subject to that invitation, you just need to let it be made known to somebody. Somebody sitting beside you right now. Or after our closing prayer, someone who's walking beside you. Or ask someone to pray for you when you're in the foyer, walking across the parking lot. Would you pray for me? Doesn't always have to be in a congregational situation. It can be. It's awkward to end a sermon without a song. Just, it doesn't feel right. That's the lesson. And again, next week, continue it with six or so more people or situations to pray for. So now you know at least that list, for whom should I pray? Who had the closing prayer?
Danny does.
Okay. Danny, the hardship, for whom should I pray? I mean, you're going to match that list. Just kind of, the expression when I was a child.
I have something to say about that.
Sometimes the person leading the prayer, you say, God, we pray for all those in whom it's our duty to pray for. And that kind of covered the situation.
First of all, I'm going to pray for Jim because he gave me this here assignment, knowing what you was going to preach about. It puts me in a bad spot. Before we start praying, I'd like to say we thank you for each and every one of you for coming today. You know, after so many weeks of not being able to gather, it's awful good together with the brother and, you know, to see you. We can't hug you yet. We can't shake your hand. We can give you a wink and say we love you and say a prayer for you. Will you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful that you have given us this opportunity to come here today again so that we could gather with our brothers and sisters and hear a portion of your word. Father, we have so many things to pray for. We'd first like to pray for the leaders of the world and this nation, for this country, this state, county. Each and every day, Father, these people are making laws. Some are good, some are bad. that they would only realize, and we hope that you can help them realize, that they would not be needed to make so many laws if they would just go to your book. When I sit and think about it sometimes, there's nothing really that your book does not cover. Father, we would ask that you would be with those who are sick, those who are not well, those who are in the hospital and homes. There's no one here in this building, Father, that does not have someone that they need to pray for daily. I would ask that we would all stop and think, well, if we need to pray for someone daily, maybe it would help us to also read the Bible daily. We ask that you would be with this congregation. Help us be stronger. We'd also ask that you give us knowledge and wisdom. And how do we get wisdom? Your book tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So not only should we love you, we should fear you, because we do know that you have the power to do whatever you want. As we go to our separate homes and places today, Father, we would ask that you would let us take your word with us. Let us never forget to mention to other people about you. Let them know we are Christians by the way we live. We also know that we have many who are in circumstances that are not well. So we ask that if we cannot change our circumstances, as Brian often tells us, we need to change our attitude. And our attitude always should be going to you, to love you, and to fear you. We ask that as we go now that you let us walk in your light, and that we never forget to mention you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.